Welcome to The Pulse, where we delve deep into the issues and ideas that are shaping the future of education. I'm your host, Rick Cernsey, superintendent of the Putnam County School District, and each week we'll be talking to teachers, administrators, and other experts in the field about the latest trends, best practices, and most pressing concerns in education. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or just someone who cares about education, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into The Pulse. Welcome back to our podcast. And this is Rick Cernsey, Superintendent of Schools, the Putnam County School District. And I have the honor today to talk to our 2024 Putnam County Teacher of the Year, Ian Bowes. And Ian, welcome. And it's certainly an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Ian comes to us from QI Roberts Junior Senior High School, and we've asked him to come here today. We'll be talking to his principal later, Joe Theobald, who's the principal of the year for the school district. So it's going to be a great day for QI Roberts and for the Putnam County School District. So, Ian, thank you for being here, and tell me a little bit about your background, maybe what led you to go into teaching and what brought you to QI Roberts.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is actually in engineering. I have my bachelor's degree in engineering from Purdue University, and my original goal was to be a Disney Imagineer. You know, I wanted to do that, but as it often happens, life changes your plans, and worked for SeaWorld for a little bit, and then got a job working for University of Florida doing theater for them. And it was late nights, early mornings, you know, 14, 18-hour days, and that was not how I wanted to start and raise my family. So when I got to thinking about, okay, what can I do? Like, what what skill sets do I have, and, like, what interests me? You know, I didn't want anything that kept me behind a desk, because that's what led me to theater and everything in the first place, is that that bores me to, sit behind a desk and do all that. So, but I liked sharing my interest in kind of teaching and helping people understand things. So that's where I got into teaching, and luckily working for UF, they paid for my master's. So I got my free master's in education. And then my wife has a job working for Putnam County Schools as an English teacher at QI as well, a former Teacher of the Year. And so
I was going to mention that too, by the way. That's kind of unique.
Yeah, so that's how I landed up in Putnam County, and that was 6 years ago, and I have loved every minute of it.
That's great. And what kind of engineering?
So it's technically multidisciplinary engineering. So what my focus was essentially scenic design and special effects. So, I mean, the Super Bowl just happened recently, so anybody that watched the halftime show, essentially what I studied was all of the logistics that went behind that. All of the lighting, the sound, the special effects, all the control systems, that's what I focused on. So the practical applications, really, of those fundamental engineering principles.
So did you do that? And you said you did theater. Was that kind of work you did in theater, or did you actually perform? Or
well, I mean, in high school I did perform, but professionally I was behind the scenes. So I was the technical director for UFPA, University of Florida Performing Arts. So I oversaw all of the equipment and all of the staff, and we did about 300 events a year.
I think that's, don't they have that at, like, Phillips Auditorium?
Or, yep.
I've been there before.
Phillips Center, yeah.
Phillips Center, right.
So I worked there for 5 years before transitioning into education.
So what do you, what subjects are you teaching now at QI?
So right now I primarily teach math, pre-calculus, and calculus, but I do teach a section of our ACE Global Perspectives and Research, the A level of that course. So that's the second year of the course, and over that particular course, students are writing a 5,000-word research paper. So they're essentially working on an undergraduate thesis as a high school senior. And that I enjoy that course because it's a break from the math, and I get to interact with the students in a little less mentally taxing way than what I make them do in the math. But yeah, pre-calculus and calculus.
Well, and I've been to QI, been out there a number of times, and QI Roberts Junior Senior High School, of course, is our Cambridge school, for those viewers that may not know that school. And it is a very unique place to go to school and to work there. And of course, I know your wife, she does a tremendous job, excellent teacher. And I believe you had, your brother-in-law actually works out there too,
yes.
Right?
Yep. Yep. He is our computer science.
Right. Taught AI or teaches AI. So let me ask you this. You know, again, and you talk about how your transition has gone from, you know, engineering and, you know, theater and led you into education. What would be something that you might tell, especially with your credentials now as Teacher of the Year, for maybe future teachers that are watching this, what is something you might share with them just to talk about the passion of teaching or something that might interest them to become a teacher?
I think the biggest thing for me is because, like, right now is a big struggle for me and for my fellow teachers, and I'm sure it extends to the teachers beyond QI as well. It's that 2 weeks before, I don't know when this is going to air, but listeners, it's 2 weeks before spring break right now. So we're in that, like, okay, we have to survive and get to spring break. But teaching is tough. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, but it is worth it. I think anybody who's struggling, you need to find your people, find that support system, whether that's one of the excellent district coaches that are available or the teacher next door that knows more than you do or is just that good listener. Like, you have to find your support network and know that the payoff isn't always immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is my sixth year. And I'm starting to see that. I'm starting to have seniors graduate from college. I'm starting to have former students that are in their second and third year of college. And, you know, they're not specifically like, oh, I'm so glad my math, you know, my math is. But the experience of education and the excellent teachers that they had are like, college was easier for me than some of my friends. Like, high school was so much harder. And, like, that's kind of, I think, as teachers, what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to make sure that they can, we can support the students. And I like to tell my students that I want them to be able to fail safely, right? I don't want, like, I'm not out to make them have a poor GPA or anything, but I want them to learn how to struggle when I'm there to struggle with them, when I'm there to help them. And I think as all teachers, like, that's what we're there for. We're there to help them learn and find what their limits are.
I think failing safely, and I've heard the term failing quickly, so you can learn and try it again. But I think what I hear you saying is high school is a good place to fail because there's a huge net there, like you're talking about.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That relationship and trust. And I'm not saying anything against colleges, but colleges, and it's been a while since I've been in college, but might be a little less personal than they are in high school. And if you're going to fail, it's probably good to fail at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what a lot of people in today's day and age, where, especially for families in Putnam County, college is very much a financial decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. And even if you have the bright futures or get scholarships, like, that covers your tuition, but as anybody who has a mortgage payment or is trying to rent, like, living is expensive right now. So college is expensive all the way around. So college is the place where students learn, but it's also the colleges are making an investment. Like, they're great breeding grounds for new ideas and new innovations and all of these things, but at the end of the day, they are a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that education sometimes has to get reduced to the nuts and bolts of the dollars and cents, but colleges need students that are going to show up, graduate, go get a job, and make them look good.
And by the same token, students are going to college actually to make an investment in themselves.
Right.
So it's kind of a two-way street there.
Yeah, so that the idea that high school is that sandbox for students to play in and learn, and, like, maybe that's there at, you know, Palatka High School and in the automotive class, and that's the class they take, and they're like, you know, I don't really want to be dirty all the time, so maybe I'm going to take culinary next year, and I'm going to see if maybe cooking's my thing, or, you know, they're at QI, and they're like, you know, maybe I want to give this rockets and this flight thing a try and see if that's what I want, or... You know, that's what it's supposed to be. I have lots of students right now that I'm supporting because they're like, oh, math is hard. I can't be an engineer. And it's like, no, that's not what that means. Let's talk a little bit more about this and try, you know, I'm supporting them of, like, you can still be that engineer. Mm-hmm. just may take a little more work than the person that's sitting next to you.
Well, and you know, the thing we tried to do too, over the last several years, not only in CTE programs, in STEM programs, but also acceleration. We are trying to identify these students early, kind of give them an exposure to all that. So when, by the time they get to you in high school, in senior high school, and they kind of have a little idea. And I agree with you, once they get there, you know, they're going to change their mind and look in different directions. And that's what school's all about. So, by the way, speaking of being in your sixth year and having people come back, and to me, that is one of the best things about teaching is having those former students come back and say, hey, you touched my life in one way or another. To me, that's, you can't even put a dollar sign on that.
Yeah. And, well, and you've been around long enough, you have former students that you're now employing in the district.
Right. And actually, I'm in my 46th year, so I've got parents of students who come back, maybe even grandparents, you know, but still, it is very gratifying, and I know you're experiencing that too. So tell me, going to your honor, and I want to really focus on that for just a minute, and to me, that is one of the most distinguished honors because you're actually selected by your peers, and then you have to go through this, you know, interview process and that type of thing. And of course, after that is when the real work, with the stuff you have to turn into the state. But
yeah, it's going to be a long road to that first week of May.
So tell me, being introspective, why do you think Ian Bowes was selected as Teacher of the Year this year? And just take an objective look, and what are some things that about you that might have helped you stand out? And you can brag on yourself a little bit. It's okay.
This is permission to brag now.
Yeah.
I truly think it's my commitment to the students. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's like I have students that get to school early and they're like, hey, Mr. Bowes, are you there early? Yeah, I'm there. And they'll come in and like they usually don't need me. They just need a room and the confidence to know like if they have a question, they can get that help. You know, QI has the privilege of having power hour, that hour in the middle of the day where students can take a break from class if they need it or can get that additional support if they need it. And I have students that every day, 4 days a week, they're in my classroom, eating their lunch, going, I need help with math. And for me, it extends beyond the classroom because with my background, and I love having fun with the kids because in the classroom, I sometimes don't get to have that fun with the kids. It's math. It's hard. It's a struggle. I truly push my students to their limits because I want them to know where it is and I want them to know how to get past it, whether that's they need a tutor, whether that's they need to spend a little extra time on homework. Like that's what I'm pushing my students to. So I do I MC our pep rallies. I decorate for our homecoming dances. I organize prom for the students. Like, the seniors are like, hey, Mr. Bowes, will you be one of the chaperones to go with us to GradVenture? And I'm like, you know what? For you guys, I will. Like,
oh, that's cool.
The students come first, but not in a, because I think sometimes teachers get painted as martyrs. Like, to be a good teacher, to be that teacher, you have to give everything and you have to sacrifice everything. And I do give a lot of myself, but I also figure out ways to do all of that and still have enough of me left to spend time with my son and my wife at home and my family and all of that stuff and not have them clash so much. And I think my peers, I think the district selection committee, I think that's what they saw. Mm-hmm. I think they saw someone who truly believes in the school community and not just the school community of my classroom, or even of QI, of Putnam County, of this fantastic group of teachers and students and parents and administrators and everybody who's here to support the students. And ultimately, supporting the students supports the community because, as we've talked about, they come back, they support the community, or, you know, it's, for me, that's what it is.
That's pretty cool. And you know, you say one thing right off the bat. Kids choose to come in there, period, for whatever reason. And that, to me, as an educator, it shows me a high degree of trust. And it's also a cool place to be. I mean, I actually came in there and did a podcast.
Yep.
You have that podcast equipment. And I was in there and interviewing a couple students. And I just remember kids coming in and leaving. You know, it's the place to be because it's a safe place for kids. But they also know that not only do you care about them and you do whatever and you provide all these experiences for them, you are a human being too. You have a family. You have feelings. You have limits. And to me, that's something teachers need to hear because I think we have to be whole. We have to take care of ourselves. And I guess I'm talking to myself too. We have to take care of ourselves before we can take care of the other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's been really interesting for me this year with some of my students is I've gone back to school to get a second master's in ed leadership. So if my career takes me to administration, I have that opportunity. But a lot of my students, when I'm like, when they're like, oh, have you gotten that graded yet? I'll be like, no, I haven't had a chance because I had class last night. And they're like, wait, you had class last night? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm taking 6 graduate credit hours right now. And they're understanding in a way that's really impressed me in the like, oh, wow, like he's doing work too, like just like we're doing work. And that's been, I think, a good example for the students to see, but also it's been kind of nice for me as someone who's set an example for these students to see them go, oh, well, he had to do a bunch of homework too, so it's okay. You know, we'll cut him some slack or, you know.
Well, and I can appreciate that. Of course, I've gone through grad school and all that kind of stuff. And to me, I think we need to grow as educators too. And this is an opportunity. And I'm very happy to hear you're going into ed leadership because you know, you're going to have a bright future, and I can see that. So, Ian, I just want to thank you personally for being here, and it's been a pleasure. I learn more about you every time I talk to you, and it was kind of cool at the ceremony when you were named. Of course, everybody was very excited, but he actually put on a crown, if I remember right.
Yes.
We had the State Teacher of the Year prior to that, and I think one of them had the crown, so that was really a neat moment, and got to pose up there and all that. Yeah. So any final thoughts about your future or anything at all? What your next steps?
Well, I'll take a moment and do a shameless plug. So you've mentioned that I have a podcast set up. I do run a podcast called The Bo's Nose. And one of the things that I'm doing here this spring is Putnam County can only select one county teacher of the year to send to compete to the state. But the other 12 teachers that were nominated are still excellent teachers, and I wanted to use my platform to share their story. So over the next couple months, the Bo's Nose, in addition to our other content, will be doing teacher spotlights.
I love it.
Where I interview the other county teachers of the year and get them to share their story of education, how they got into it, their experiences. So currently, the one with Dr. Parker from Crescent City is live, and then end of the month.
I believe Brittany Jones, but we can verify that. Let me ask you this. Yeah, Brittany Jones, let me ask you this. For those who like to tune into that, do you have what's the best way to do it? And we could put that on our screen.
Best way to do it is we're on all the podcast channels. So wherever you listen to your podcast, just look up The Bo's Nose. It's a blue background with a picture of my son in sunglasses on it.
Oh, that's
cool. As the logo. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I really appreciate you recognize those teachers and letting them tell their stories. So, Ian, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Look forward to our next conversation.
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.